Don't mind us, we're playing through. Here's Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.
It's another edition of the Playing Through podcast. Thank you so much for listening to us. It's Froggy from Elvis Duran and the Morning Show on Twitter, at Froggy Radio, as well as Instagram. Joined in the studio today, Brian Golf.
Because I'm not playing golf today.
He is not playing golf today. That is B-R-Y-A-N Golf on Instagram. Lots of good stuff to follow there. It's a really good follow on Instagram. But usually we're joined in the studio. He had a pretty good track record going for a while. Brian Wacker had been in the studio for like 4 or 5 weeks in a row. Not today. So I'm going to let him tell us where he is. Wacker, why are you not in the studio today?
Because I'm in my car, man. Look, I can't always make it into the studio. And today we're heading to the Floridian to do something with Adam Scott. So I'm definitely looking forward to that.
No, no. Tell the truth. You're going to play golf with Adam Scott.
Well, why'd you have to do me like that?
Because last week, why'd you have to throw me out there like that? No, because
look, I will post. I will post his swing next to mine so you can see the difference between a tour pro and the rest of us.
We already know the difference. We live that every day. Right. I'm getting angry here all of a sudden though. The reason we're calling you out like that is because last week I was going to play a nice friendly round of golf with a friend. And you busted my balls so hard.
We did. We broke his balls pretty hard last week, Wack.
We did.
And now this week, you're going to play golf with Masters champion Adam Scott, literally 8 days before the Masters.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't think of that. That's So if he wins, if he wins another green jacket, I mean, what does that say?
It says that he didn't learn shit from you playing golf today, is what it says.
It says that he's so good he survived playing golf with me.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
It also says you don't give two shits about this podcast because that would be 10 seconds of Adam Scott on this pod randomly. You guys on the golf course would blow us up.
It would. Now, here, I'll tell you this. Now, what are the chances of us maybe being able to talk to Adam Scott at some point before the Masters? You got to set that up today. We're going to put that on you.
Man, there's, I just want to be able to take the club back. I mean, you guys have seen him swing.
Right.
And Froggy, you've seen me swing. How am I supposed to swing a club next to that?
Well, you know what? I want video of it. I definitely want video because I want to share it on social. So I expect that you will provide us video. But you know what? This week, right now, it's time that we recap the weekend that was. It was the Dell Match Play Championship. I'm just going to come right out and say it. I don't like this format.
I don't either. Wacker?
Well, you guys aren't alone. I mean, Henrik Stenson doesn't like it either, so he didn't play.
Jason Day didn't play. There's a lot of guys that didn't even play.
Look, I get why they do it, okay, in the old format where it could be one and done or was one and done. You lose your out. You know, you get to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then even Sunday, and you don't know what you're going to get from a TV audience perspective and from a crowd audience perspective. So I understand why the tour changed the format to this. But it is a strange format. There's, you end up with some meaningless matches on Friday every year where you've got guys playing for nothing.
Yeah, like Dustin Johnson had already lost his two matches. There was no chance he was going to make it on Friday. When, by the way, he hit a 489-yard drive that they said will not count towards the records because it was not an official stroke play round, so it doesn't count. But, does not count towards the rule books. Towards the record books, but Dustin Johnson did hit a 489-yard drive. But he's playing in a meaningless match that meant absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and so you get some of that, and then, you've kind of got some matches. It's just a strange format because you've got these matches going on that mean nothing, or maybe for one guy is meaningless, other than maybe playing a spoiler role. It's just a strange format. I mean, I get why they did it for the fans. It's a lot better format. Look, you can get 3 days of all the top players showing up, playing, you buy a ticket or watch on TV, you get that for 3 days, and then they go to knockout format after that. And, the top players from each pool advancing to the weekend. So I understand why they did it. But by the way, how about the final? It was a blowout.
The final was a blowout. I mean, Bubba wasted Kevin Kisner in that in that final. I think Alex Noren probably would have given, because Alex Noren putted lights out this weekend. I mean, his putter was hot. But you can't take away from Bubba. And that's my next question is, so Bubba wins. He won big. He won convincingly. Let's be honest. He took down Justin Thomas. For whatever reason, Justin said he didn't play well. He felt the pressure of being able to ascend to number one in the world. But Bubba's already got two green jackets. Does this put him – we've all been talking about Tiger. We've been talking about Dustin. We've been talking about Rory. We've been talking about Justin Thomas. Does this put Bubba in the conversation for the Masters?
Absolutely. Look, he's already won twice now this year. Augusta National is a left-hander's paradise, especially when you can hit the ball as far as Dustin hits it. When you can work it the way Dustin works it.
You mean Bubba. Bubba.
When you can work it the way Bubba works it. He's already got two green jackets, you mentioned. I mean, there's no reason to think that this guy, if he has a good week with the putter, then he won't be in contention. Because that place, look, when he won the second time, there you had guys saying he was going to win four and five green jackets. Now, I don't know about that, but look, the place is clearly set up for him. You look at holes like 13, it's a driver wedge. I don't know that there's a better course set up for another player the way the Masters is set up for Bubba Watson.
I think Bubba has that whole I only want to get to 10 wins mentality, once said, like, that's my Hall of Fame mentality going, where everything from here is such gravy on the potatoes. He actually is going to be playing with no pressure whatsoever. I think he's – I'm not saying he's my pick, all right?
No.
He is easily the top three favorites at Augusta this year.
I mean, we've been talking about the Masters for quite a few weeks. This buildup is unreal this year. And I know we've talked about Tiger Woods. We've talked about Dustin Johnson. And Rory put himself into the conversation again when he won at Bay Hill. And we've all been talking about Justin Thomas. He was hot at the Honda. He almost won the first WGC event when he lost in a playoff with Phil. And Bubba really had not been in the conversation at all. And now, here we are, he's a favorite. But, okay, so now we're going to say that Bubba is a favorite. Are we going – is anybody willing to back off DJ? Are you going to take anything from those struggles that he had this week?
I am backing off DJ a lot right now. I just don't feel like he's there. I don't feel like he's got the game. He's not playing in Houston, is he, Wacker?
Now you've put me on the spot. I don't think he is.
I don't think he is either.
I don't think he is. So with that being said, like this was the last time we're going to see Dustin Johnson before the Masters. I don't think you can sit there and go, hey, that's the clear-cut favorite. Or maybe because he hits it so long, he's a top five. But what about the putter?
And things have changed a year ago. If you remember, he won the match play. He led 90% of his holes. He got hurt going into Augusta. He was the perennial favorite. Everybody thought it was kind of almost just a given he was going to win. And now here we are. He's had one bad tournament. He played well, a couple weeks ago when we saw him. But now we're all kind of backing off and saying that now maybe DJ's not going to be one of the favorites at Augusta.
Was he ever going – is that golf course set up for DJ? I know he bombs it, but we all know how Dustin Johnson plays golf. He doesn't really think his way much around the golf course. He just kind of goes –
right.
And he hits from point to point. Great. Augusta, you got to be so precise. Wacker, you've seen the golf course. You've played the golf course. I saw your scorecard. You had that, pro stretch there to finish off that front nine. I was so proud looking at that card. I was like, man, he was nervous. And then he turned it around. But you've seen it. Is that really, from the approach in and around the greens, a Dustin Johnson-type golf course, if we are being 100% honest here?
Well, look, the thing with Dustin and Augusta, it's all about distance control with his irons, specifically his wedges and his short irons, and then, of course, putting. So those are the two areas that if Dustin is going to have success at Augusta National, those are two things he has to do well. Those are two things that everybody has to do well if they're going to have success there. And for Dustin, at least in the past, that's been a struggle. Of course, we've seen him improve his wedge play. We've seen him improve his distance control on his shorter irons. And we've seen even his putting improve a bit. So, look, I don't take much from the fact that he, what we saw at the match play, because different sort of golf course, different style of play that you're going to take into a match play competition versus, obviously, the Masters. So, to me, look, Dustin, I think, has to always be considered a favorite. Last year, he was a huge favorite because he had won three in a row going into there.
Right.
And was playing, you know, the best golf of his career.
Yeah,
he's clearly not playing that level of golf at the moment, but that doesn't mean he's not one of the favorites. He certainly has to be considered a favorite just because of his talent alone.
If you saw the scorecard on Friday at the match play, or no, it was Wednesday, his very first match, he was 9 over through 11 holes. I mean, just not playing well. And I know you play different in match play, and I totally understand that. But he was not hot. You know what's so weird about this? And we've been doing this for weeks. We're so ready for the Masters. Like, we've got Houston this week.
Right.
Hardly anybody's even talking about the Houston Open. And I know that Phil's playing. I know we've got Justin Rose is playing. I saw a list last night of guys that are playing. There's a lot of good guys playing the Houston Open. But we're so geared up for the Masters. I can't remember a hype machine at this level for the Masters in a long, long time.
And all the people I want to watch play golf aren't playing in Houston.
Right.
So, and those are the people that I want to see at Augusta. So that has a lot to do with why, and I told you guys last week when we were recapping Bay Hill, look, I'm looking over the match play. I'm in Augusta. That's where I'm at. My mind's at Augusta.
Right, and it really is. And that's the thing is that, Wacker, are you noticing that with the Golf Digest articles and everything that's going on in the industry? Are you noticing that there really is it just us, or is there more hype for this year's Masters than we've seen in the recent past?
Well, certainly there's more hype because it all starts with Tiger Woods. This is the first time he's played it in 3 years. We've seen how he has played this year so far, and particularly his last couple of starts at Bay Hill and at Tampa the week before that. So when you throw Tiger Woods into the mix on top of Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, on and on and on, Bubba Watson now. There's always anticipation for the Masters. It's the first major of the year. It's the first major in 8 months. So there's always enormous anticipation and tremendous storylines going into the Masters because it's the first major of the year. We see it every year, but it's absolutely heightened when you throw Tiger Woods. Remember, this is a guy who did not play the Masters the last 2 years.
Right.
He's been a non-story in that regard. So you throw him on top of it, the ultimate needle in golf, the guy who is the needle, doesn't move it. You know, that just takes it to another level in terms of anticipation for the Masters. So that's why we're seeing so much hype and so much buildup towards this year's Masters, and quite frankly, more buildup than we've seen in the past few years.
Froggy, I know you got something to say, so hold your thought. I just want to say, you know what a swear jar is, right?
Yes.
Yep, we're going to get a needle jar. Anytime we mention this freaking Tiger Woods is the needle thing, somebody's putting a dollar in the needle jar. All right, we're getting way too cliche on this podcast.
But he is.
We
he
are
is
being so corny. I know. You he throw is. A dollar in the jar.
He is the needle. You know what? Speaking of Tiger Woods.
Look, the needle, the feels, all of it.
That's right. Glutes.
Feels and trash. When I make that hat, I'm gonna sell so many of those hats, but I just gave the idea away. We're going to have to edit this part out.
Glutes. We got glutes going on. I mean, it really is. Speaking of Tiger Woods, we got a report over the weekend. Some insider news, Tiger Woods and his latest change to his driver in prep for the Masters. This week, Tiger Woods flew to Augusta National, played 36 holes on Thursday and Friday. He has put a new driver shaft in his M3, a Mitsubishi Tensi Pro Orange 70TX, the exact same shaft that Rory gamed at Bay Hill and won. Tiger loves the shaft change, and in the 36 holes he played at Augusta National, he only missed one fairway. Now, that is a report from 97 Speedster on Golf WRX. Want to give him the credit. Want to give Golfworks the credit. That is encouraging that he is playing this shaft. And once again, it is the same shaft that Rory. And I, in a few minutes, we're going to get into Rory talking about the driver change that he's made as he gets ready for Augusta, that he made at Bay Hill, whether it's the putter change, the driver change. Wacker, do you think Tiger making changes going into Augusta? Here we are. He's played, you know, we've played the five tournaments. He's done as well as he has. Is it a little bit alarming that he's going to show up at Augusta and step on the first tee with a shaft that he has not played in a tournament event yet?
No, because let me tell you something. The fact you know, he has not been hitting the one area of his game that he has struggled with the most, really, in this comeback, has been off the tee with the driver. So to me, he's spent a lot of time tweaking that driver. We've heard him talk about going to a lighter shaft, more loft, all sorts of stuff. To me, that tells me that he's not yet comfortable with the driver that he has in his bag. And Augusta National, I'm sorry, is not a place you can win hitting 3-wood and 2-iron off the tee.
Right.
He's going to need to hit driver. He's going to need to hit it. Now, look, you can spray it a little bit there, but you've got to hit the driver and hit it pretty well to have success at Augusta. It's as much emphasis as there is on short game. A lot of that has to do with putting the ball in the right place off the tee so you can put it in the right place on the putting green, and you've got to be able to hit driver and got to be able to control it. And we saw that at Bay Hill on Sunday on 16, inexplicable that Tiger would hit it out of bounds left in that situation. So you cannot go to Augusta National hitting driver the way he's been hitting it and have success. So to me, the fact that, look, he's going to go into lockdown mode, grind mode, 2 weeks out, work on it, get the driver dialed in as much as he can. We've seen the other parts of his game. We've seen the short game. We've seen the distance control with the irons. There's been a lot of positive signs with his game. The driver, though, is the club he knows he needs to be able to rely on and hit at Augusta to have success.
Right. So speaking of the driver change that he is making, the shaft that he's put in is one that Rory put in at Bay Hill. I'm wondering if there was some conversations there. I know that Tiger and Rory are friends. Absolutely. I wonder if there's been some talk there as well.
Absolutely. Look, both guys are tailor-made guys. They've played some golf together. They've been talkative about during their rounds together about the different specifications of various drivers. We talked about it with folks in TaylorMade. Rory's not a guy who tinkers, but he's found something he likes in TaylorMade with his driver setup. And apparently Tiger feels the same with the setup he now has. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Of course, that being if that all sort of plays out the way it sounds like it might, and how Tiger hits the driver, because that is the one question mark we haven't gotten an answer to yet. Is his ability off the tee with the driver.
Right. So speaking of the guys at TaylorMade, Ryan Lauder, one of our good friends at TaylorMade, and Keith Sbarbaro, who we had on the podcast, they spoke to Rory McIlroy about the changes that he has made with his driver, and this is what Rory had to say.
I tried a new driver last week. You know, I'd been playing the same shaft for quite a while. I'd been playing the same Kurokagi shaft for 7 years, I guess. And I just thought, you know, in 7 years, there must be something out there that's a little bit better. There's all these advances in technology, whether it be with club heads and shafts and golf balls. You know, in the past 7 years, there must have been something that's come out that was just a little better than what I was using. So I tried a couple of different things, settled on the Tensei Orange. But the great thing about this shaft is I didn't really have to move the weights around too much in the M3 head. I could set it at standard loft, which was great as well. I didn't really have to mess about too much with loft or where the weights were. So it's in a nice neutral setting, and the shaft has been a great addition. Tighter ball flight, little less dispersion. With the driver I was playing, I felt like in a left or right wind, I was losing it a little bit to the right. It wasn't quite holding its line as much as I wanted it to. And then with this new M3, It held its line much better, and I was getting a little more ball speed out of it as well. So that was a bonus. I wasn't really, feel like I get enough ball speed anyway, but to sort of get an extra 5 or 6 yards of carry out of this new driver, I'm very confident in my equipment and in my game heading into Augusta.
So Rory obviously really likes the shaft. Now I'm hearing the shaft is heavier. Tiger earlier had said that he liked a heavier shaft, and I know, Brian, you have fit a lot of guys in this shaft. Is this something that you see as a good change for Tiger moving forward?
1,000%. My whole thing when you said, like, Tiger likes a heavier shaft, what's really interesting about the Tensei Orange is it's actually counterbalanced. So there's a little more weight in the butt end of the club,
right,
that actually lightens the feel of the head. So you can manipulate the weight. You can add a little more weight, maybe get a little more ball speed, in the head as far as that goes. You know, obviously the more mass that hits a ball, faster it's going to come off of that. But
right.
Definitely, it's got a stiffer tip. It's made of a different material because before, when he came out in the Bahamas, and even last year, actually, in the Bahamas, last year, the most popular shaft, and a lot of it had to do with Tiger Woods, a lot of it had to do with the fact that it is a great performing shaft, was the 10C Pro White, the CK Pro White. Okay. That one's a little soft in the hands. So with this one, it's the orange, they've come out, they've counterbalanced it, they got a different material, a stronger material, and a stiffer tip all down below, closer to the head. So more stability, more control, less torque, and then you've got the it's a little firmer in the butt, in the hands, is right. What I mean, in the butt and in the shaft.
You know, you this would think was, we were talking dirty here. We've talked shaft, stiffer in the butt, tip. I mean, there's really been a lot. I mean,
I saw your head. Go
golf
on,
sounds
on.
Dirty,
what
but it's not.
On? But this was, and I tagged you in that post, both of you, and said, 1,000% agree with this decision. Don't know why they didn't do this before. I know we went back to the Matrix TPHDE, which is a great shaft, but not the same at all compared to the 10C White and, of course, this 10C Orange, which, you know, originally there was a couple different versions of the 10C Orange. So I don't know which one he has. It's really funny because there was three different versions, I think, a version 1, a version 2, and a version 3. I'm just curious to see which one he actually ended up with.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see what these changes do.
It's smart. Yeah.
And you know, how they affect his game. So we're less than a week out. No, excuse me. This will be Masters Monday next week. We'll start Masters week. So we're a week out from being there. We've got the Houston this weekend. Still lots of good players at the Houston as they prepare. I think Phil's the only guy, if I'm not mistaken, Wacker. I know Wacker always has these stats down. Is Phil the only guy that's won the Houston and then gone on to win the Masters?
Well, he didn't win Houston. It was
Bell South
back
yeah.
then.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Was that what course was that? Was that Sugarloaf or I don't remember?
Yes, I believe that was Sugarloaf. But you know, look, I don't take a whole lot of, you know, we hear about momentum all the time. I don't necessarily look at it, particularly when it comes to Augusta National. A guy playing well the week before or not playing well the week before as maybe a good sign. I mean, certainly there are things you might look for if a guy is struggling with his putting. But again, players are sometimes working on things in their games. They're trying to try certain shots or certain things in their stroke. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see if there's any sort of a momentum for anyone that carries over from Houston to Augusta. But look, we've talked about this before. I think when you're talking about the Masters, you look at the top 10, 20, 25 players in the world. Generally, the winner is coming from somewhere in that group.
Wacker, you know what? I know you got somewhere to go. You have a tee time with Adam Scott, and we don't want to hold you back from that. So you go ahead, play with Adam Scott, but I do expect to see a comparison of your swing next to one of the most beautiful ones we've ever seen in Adam Scott's. I want to see that. I want to see it on social media. I'm going to load it into my V1 app and see where the differences are. So I expect to get we're done.
I can save you the trouble right now. Go get a frame by frame of Adam Scott.
Yeah.
And then go take an etch a sketch and draw a bunch of squiggly lines, and then you'll have my swing. So there you go. Adam Scott, and then you'll have the etch a sketch, and that'll be the fair comparison. Because let's face it. This guy's got one of the best swings we've ever seen. He's another guy in terms of the Masters. It'll be fascinating to watch. He's trying to get back to being a top 10 player in the world. He's outside the top 50 for the first time in his career in a long time. I think back until back since 2009, I believe it is. So this is a guy who's got a lot going on in his game that he's trying to get ironed out, both with his swing, with his putting, of course, which has always been an issue. Throughout his career, but I'm fascinated to kind of get an up-close look and spend some time with him here this morning, and we'll have a complete rehash of the day on the podcast.
Yeah, so next week we're going to recap Houston. We will recap your round with Adam Scott. I expect maybe he'll probably give you 10 shots aside. That probably still won't be enough.
10?
And then we will be in full-fledged Masters mode. I know it seems like we're already there, but we'll ramp it up a little bit again. Also coming up this week on the podcast, later this week, we're going to talk to Sean Foley, swing coach Sean Foley, and we will also talk with the guys from Super Speed Golf, who there seems to be these super speed golf swing sticks in like every single bag on the PGA Tour.
It's amazing. And the fact that they work and the results can actually be measured, therefore sales go up anytime you get actual measurable results.
Right, exactly.
The sales are going to go up. These guys are selling these things like crazy, blowing up, getting into hockey, getting into baseball. But we're golfers, so we're going to focus on that talk with them.
Wacker, I expect you to hit them straight, hit them long, and at least make a couple birdies and a few pars out there, okay?
Not at the Floridian.
I will do what I can.
I think you've had enough.
Playing through.
No? Now you've had enough.
With Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.
Bitch.